under any degree of circumstances, ever lose your amazement with how wonderful and amazing Christ has been towards you. I mean, when you really think about it, I know we do this a little bit, but it's good. When you really think about it, all the times He's been there for you, forgiven you, blessed you, been patient with you, been kind towards you. Oh, I'm amazed by Him. I'm amazed by Him. Right? Right? And so it's good. It's healthy to just kind of relax and sing songs like that. And just let the Lord know that of all the things we're amazed by, nothing surpasses His glory in our eyes. Amen. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we come before You. Oh, we love You. And we are so amazed by You. You are so wonderful, Lord. You are so magnificent, Lord. We're just amazed by You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for protecting us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for healing us, for providing for us. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We love You, Lord. And Father, we ask of You tonight to make our words be words of life. Give us boldness. Give us utterance. We need boldness to say what needs to be said. We need utterance to make sure we say it right. We thank You we receive both. And Father, I thank You that You make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that it write the word that You so spoke eloquently through these men years ago. Let it write it upon the hearts of every single person in here. Thank You, I minister with the ability that You give me. I speak as Your oracle, as Your mouthpiece. And Father, we thank You that at the end of this service, we'll be careful, we'll be quick to give You all the praise and all the glory. For Lord, You and You alone are worthy of the praise. And You alone are worthy of the glory. So we will be quick to give it. We thank You, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to someone, tell them how glad you are to see them at church tonight. Amen. Aren't you thankful for all the Lord's done? And aren't you thankful to be at church tonight with such marvelous, wonderful people? I tell you what, I like our company here. You know, in the book of Acts, it said they went into their own company. I like our company of faith here, our company of believers here at Word of Life Church. Well, I'm glad to see everyone. I missed this weekend. I heard some of you did too. I heard there's some rain that maybe kept some people in this Sunday. But I tell you what, that wasn't my excuse. I ate something on Friday, and then it ate me for the next 2 days. And so I am thankful for the Lord and His healing, and I am thankful to be here tonight. We're excited to open up the Word of God with you. Let's do that. Let's open it up to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at something we looked at two weeks ago. We took a break for First Wednesday, but we're going to pick up where we left off, talking about the power of seed, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I made mention 2 weeks ago, I woke up Wednesday morning and took a walk and then went and had breakfast, and part of breakfast was an apple, and I ate the apple, of course, down to the core. I got a text that night telling me I should eat the core too. Apparently you can do that. I didn't know you could do that, but apparently that's the part of the apple a day that actually keeps the doctor away is the core. I don't know. So what's that? You may want to shove the whole thing in next time. I ate it to the core and then went over to my trash can and went to throw the core away. And the Lord started dealing with me about the power of seed. He says, now think about what you're doing. You're throwing away the core. And of course, what does the core have in it? All the seeds in it. And he said, you know, with an apple, you can basically do three things with it. He said, it's got potential for three things. Number one, you can eat it. And eating it can provide nourishment to you. It can provide provision to you, provision towards your flesh, fuel for your body. They say you ought to eat for that. Not eat for pleasure, but eat for fuel. I like that. I'm trying to do that, but I like that. Sounds good. Sounds good in theory. Eat for fuel, not for pleasure. But anyway, you can eat an apple and get provision for your body, nourishment for your body. That's the first thing you can do with it. The second thing you can do with it is you can enjoy it. You can enjoy an apple. It's got a natural good flavor to it, but we said 2 weeks ago, you can doctor an apple up, buddy. I mean, you can put some caramel on an apple. Come on, somebody. You can put some dip it in. Yeah, some Nutella. Come on, somebody. Come on. I got a witness there on the front row. Nutella. Hazelnut and chocolate. Have you ever seen the advertisement for Nutella? It makes it seem like you're a healthy mom if you give your children Nutella. And when you think about it, it's like, no, I really just gave them chocolate with a hint of hazelnut in it. But anyway, you can put Nutella on them, and you can doctor it up all kinds of ways and enjoy it. You can not only have an apple and eat it for nourishment, for food, but you can also enjoy it. But then there's a third thing you can do with it. And really the third thing is the highest thing you can do with it. That in the center of an apple is seeds. And if you release the seed, if you invested the seed, then the seed actually has the potential to give you more apples. It has the potential to give you an apple tree, which can sustain you with apples for a much longer period than the one apple you have. But most of us have never done anything with that seed. Most of us are like me. We eat the apple all the way down to the core, and then we throw away the seeds. We throw away the core. And the Lord dealt with me how an apple is very similar to money. Money, it has the potential to do those three things as well. This is Indian money, and I'll tell you why at the end of the service. Hopefully we'll get to that part of the sermon. But this is 1,000 rupees. I'm holding a $1,000 bill. Of course, in American money, it's like 10 bucks. But with that, it feels good to say you're holding $1,000, but it's really 1,000 rupees. But anyway, this is Indian money. And with it, if you were over in India, you could purchase things or use it to pay bills that would sustain you and your family. Most of you, I'm sure, have a job, and with that, you're used to having money. And then using that money for nourishment, using that money for provision, using that money to take care of your family, to take care of yourself. And that's a good thing. We also said that money can be used for enjoyment, that we can buy more than we need and use it for things that are maybe even the word would be luxury, luxury being more than is necessary. And we can have toys that you play with. You get your kids' toys, maybe you got a toy, maybe you got a boat or a motorcycle or something like that. You don't need it, but you enjoy it. And well, how'd you get it? You use money to get it. And money can provide things for our enjoyment. You go to a movie, you didn't need the movie, but you enjoyed it. So how'd you get in that movie? You exchanged money for it. Just like an apple, you could use it for provision, but you could also use it for enjoyment. But money also has the potential to be invested. Now, you know this, if you study the stock market or if you invest in real estate or invest in a company or invest in a business, money has the potential to not only be used for provision, to not only be used for enjoyment, money has the potential to actually make money. I know you can make money, but money can make money. Money can make money for you while you're sleeping. Money's got the power to duplicate. With this, we said this last week, according to the Bible, anything that can be given is likened unto a seed. If you can give someone a hard time, it's likened unto a seed. Well, what's a seed designed to do? A seed is designed to increase, multiply, and come back to you. We looked at that in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. He said, if you give mercy, mercy's coming back to you. If you give judgment, judgment's coming back to you. Anything I can give you is a seed. The world calls it karma. The Bible calls it seed time and harvest. But if I can give it to you, it means it's got seed power in it. And we said that a seed's potential is never released until it's sown. You're never getting the apples out of that seed until the seed is in the ground. You got to sow it first. I got to give it. Once it's given over into the ground, then it's got the power to produce more. Same way with money. You can keep it in your wallet, but it's never going to increase. It's never going to produce. But if you could give it to the right company, then your money's now made money. And it comes back to you in a larger way, if it was a good investment, in a larger way than what you gave into the company to begin with. Anything that can be given has the power to be multiplied and come back to you. And we said that's the power of a seed. You don't just reap an apple. You reap an apple tree that in return gives you more apples with more seeds. And we said anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple, but no one can count the number of apples in a seed. And God designed the apple that way. God designed earth that way. And he said as long as the earth remains, there's always going to be seed time. And there's always going to be harvest time. So with this, I said two weeks ago that I've just got it in my heart to really help us all kick up to the next level. You know, I've been thinking about this since I preached on it on Sunday or two Sundays ago about that parable over in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. I encourage you to go home and read it tonight where Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And he gives that parable, and in the parable, he gave one servant 5 talents, another servant 2 talents, another servant 1 talent. Talent was a measure of money. And with this, I've been meditating on this all week. He expected them, he expected those people to take what he had given them and increase it. He expected them to increase it. He expected them to take it up higher. And when he came on what the King James calls the day of reckoning, the reckoning was to see, did you increase what I gave you? Did you take what I gave you and take it to the next level? God expects us to be taking our lives to the next level. It's not just a good thing. It's expected of us. It's expected of us to take what he has given to us and take it higher, to take it further. And we said it's time to do that. And it's my job to help us all get there. So one of the things that, well, really the only way from a kingdom of God standpoint that things increase is with seed. The power of increase is in the seed. Increase is in the seed. And so we gave you those 3 points. You can write them down if you weren't here last week or 2 weeks ago. I encourage you to get the CD. We said, number one, the increase is in the seed. The increase is in the seed. The only way to get more apples is I can eat this apple, I enjoy this apple, but this apple is not going to increase until I realize the increase is where? It's in the seed. We said, secondly, the increase is not released until the seed is planted. I could have the seed in my pocket all day long, but it's never going to increase. I could carry around the seed, I could speak over the seed, I could pray over the seed, but the seed, the increase that is in the seed, will never be released until when? The seed is planted until it's sown into ground. Then we said this, the third part. We said the increase is not received until you claim it by faith. The increase is not received until you claim it, until you harvest it. It'd be like we said, if you sowed an apple seed and it produced an apple tree, if you never went to the field you sowed the seed in to see if it ever produced an apple tree, that thing could be producing apples for 100 years and you not enjoy one of them simply because you never went back to your seed. It's got to be harvested with faith. So we see a principle like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's look in verse 8. Well, let's look in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. And on the screens, if you can pull this up in the Amplified, this is Paul writing to us, and he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Why? The increase is in the seed. It's never released until seed is sown. So if I'm only sowing a little, I can only expect a little in return. But he said, if I sow bountifully, if I sow a lot of seed, well, where's the increase? It's in the seed. I can get bountiful in return. Every man, verse 7, every man, all of us, according as he is purposed in his own heart, so let him give. not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Who's you? The giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Who's you? The man who's purposed in his heart to give cheerfully. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Now, we looked at this, and we've looked at it a lot, but let's look at it in the Amplified in verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, in the Amplified on the screens, it says, "And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need may be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation." Hold that on the screens and look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 14, right next door. We'll come back to chapter 9. This whole time he's been talking about giving, talking about money. And notice what he says in verse 14. He says, "But by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply to their want." Underline that. "That at this time my abundance may be a supply unto their want." This is God's best for us. That we walk as believers, as a church, as businesses, as men, as women, that we walk in abundance, not so we can just have abundance, not so we can just have provision, not so we can just have enjoyment, but we have abundance so that we can be a supply. God says, "I want your abundance to be a supply to those in want." And this has always been God's best. Notice from a financial standpoint, notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, you see that same mindset that my abundance is to be a supply. He says, "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance." Well, why do I have abundance? "So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need may be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance," notice this, "for every good work and charitable donation." My abundance, yes, it's going to meet my need, but even more than that, my abundance is going to be a what? A supply. How many of you want to be a greater supply than ever before? I mean, we got some missionaries we want to be a greater supply to. We got some works we want to do downtown we want to be a greater supply to. My abundance is going to enable me to be a supply. And that's what abundance is ultimately for, is so that I can be a supply to every good work and charitable donation. Now notice he keeps writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's look here in verse 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9. It says, "As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever." Verse 10. "Now he that ministereth," underline all of this, I'm sure you probably already have, "he that ministereth seed to the sower," I put a number one in my Bible next to seed to the sower, "both minister," number two, "bread for my food, and," number three, "a multiplication of my seed sown." Once again, where's the increase? It's in the seed, but when is the increase released? Not until the seed is sown. "So with that, he multiplies, not seed in my pocket, but seed sown. And number four, increases the fruits of your righteousness." Now that all sounds real good, that God is able to make all grace abound towards me because I'm sowing. I'm sowing seed, and so God is taking his grace, putting it on my life, so that I'm furnished in abundance in every good work. That every area of my life is blessed. The Amplified puts it this way, that I personally should require no aid or financial support of any kind, be self-sufficient. He said, this is God's will for you, so that I can be a supply to other places, to other things, to give to every good work and charitable donation. He follows it up by saying, I'm going to do some things for you to kickstart this. Number one, I'm going to give you some seed to sow. Number two, I'm gonna take it to where not only do you have seed to sow, but I'm gonna take you where you have bread to eat, where you and your family, you're taken care of. Then number three, I'm gonna see that the seed that you have sown is multiplying. Now, I told you a story a couple of 2 weeks ago. Now, I'll pick it up where we left off. I don't have time to tell the whole story, so if you weren't here, once again, you'll have to get the podcast. But the story basically went like this, true story. I was talking to a guy about this probably about a month ago now. But with this, him and his wife had started a company at a very young age. That company grew, expanded, but he wasn't serving God. Finally decided to serve God, sold the company, went over to Bible school. But now he's at Bible school, and we'll pick up with the story. Now he's at Bible school, and he is suffering financially, big time. There were some things that happened in the company that just turned on him. And now he's on the line for lots and lots and lots of money. The problem is he doesn't have the revenue he once did. He doesn't have the money to pay it. So he drove to Bible school, drove up from Florida, which is where he was living. He moved from North Carolina, Florida, and then from Florida to Oklahoma, where the Bible school was. And he drove there in a paid-for Mercedes. But over the process of time, he had to sell all that, and now he's driving an old, beat-up, used Mustang and can't even afford the interest on his credit cards. So just two different worlds. He's at Bible school, and he's trying to do things the Lord's way. And so he's praying a lot about this. It's easy to pray from your need, right? When you got a need, buddy, the pressure's there. It's reminding you to do the things you ought to do, like pray. And so with this, he's praying a lot. And he's dependent upon the Lord a lot. He's doing all he knows to do. And so he's talking to the Lord about increase. That is the gist of his prayer life. And it's not just because he wants a new boat. He needs to pay for his mortgage. He's several months behind. He can't even afford, once again, the interest on his credit cards. So this is the subject of his life. I need increase. So he prays about it. And on one particular day, while he's praying, the Lord speaks this to his heart. It just bears witness in his heart. I give seed to the sower. I give seed to the sower. Now, all this is an attempt to explain to you how 2 Corinthians chapter 9 works. I give seed to the sower. He gets that in his heart. He doesn't understand what it means. What do you mean you give seed to the sower? So he keeps praying. He gets that in his heart again. I give seed to the sower. His wife comes home from work that day. She says, I've been praying all day, of course, praying about the same thing. She said, the only thing I get in my heart is the exact same thing. The Lord gives seed to the sower. He laughed. He said, that's what I've been getting on my heart too. He gives seed to the sower. And so they began talking about it, and they said, well, I guess we need to find some seed to sow. Where are we going to find seed to sow? We don't have any extra income. We don't have any money. And once again, the Lord quickened to their heart. I said, I give seed to sow, seed to the sower. So they said, oh, okay, we'll believe you for seed to sow. And so with this, they determined how much seed they were going to believe God for, money that would come in from extra sources to be able to sow. So they made up the figure and determined on $5,000. They got an agreement with it. We're believing for $5,000 for seed to sow. We're going to sow $5,000. So they got an agreement, prayed over it. Well, the days go by, weeks go by. There's still an agreement. The Lord's going to give them seed to sow. Well, they're from North Carolina, as I said, and he actually drove back to North Carolina to see some family. And while he was there, a pastor contacted him. He had heard, because this individual who was the builder was working for Rhema, the Bible school that he was attending. And they hired him to help with construction there out on their property. And he heard, this pastor had heard from them that he knew a lot about construction. So he never really met the guy or talked to the pastor in North Carolina. But this guy calls him up and said, hey, I'm doing some things with the building. Can you come over here and look at this? So he goes over there and he starts looking around, just kind of talking a little shop and talking a little bit about the structure that they were building. And while he was talking, the pastor said, come in my office. He said, the whole time I've been talking to you, the Lord's been dealing with my heart. And so he goes in his office, and he cuts him a check for $3,500. Well, he had never had anything like that happen to him before, just someone giving you that kind of money for not doing anything, just giving it to you.
He cut him a check for $3,500. And he said, man, I just feel like the Lord is telling me to put this in your hands. So they rejoice, of course. Well, he goes back to Tulsa. And over the process of the next couple of days, someone comes up to him and gives him $1,500. And then someone comes up to him and gives him $500. So there he's got a seed to sow. He's got $5,000 in a very supernatural way. Now, it's funny because his wife was sitting next to us where they were telling us the story. She said, you have no idea how bad we wanted to eat the seed. You have no idea how bad we wanted to eat the seed. They said, no, we're not going to eat the seed. We're going to sow the seed. And the Lord told them a place to sow into. And then he also told them to give to this couple who was getting married but had no money for a wedding. And he told him, I want you to give towards that and use it as seed to believe for your children's weddings, that they'll marry the right people and that their weddings will be paid for. So anyway, interesting. So they gave to that and then gave to the other thing, gave $5,000. Well, he sows that seed, but the pressure's still there. He's still got all these needs. His income hasn't changed. And so with this, he's every day believing God. We'll come back to this. Every day he's believing God and putting the pressure on God to take that seed and multiply it, to do what he said he would do, to multiply seed that was sown. So he's putting the pressure on God, reminding the Lord of that, giving thanks to the Lord for multiplying seed sown. Okay, now, Lord, the seed is in the ground. I thank you, Lord. You multiply your seed sown. And as he's driving one day, he's just driving his pickup truck, he stops at a stoplight, and over on the right, he sees a church that had previously been built but was destroyed by a tornado. There was a tornado that came through and just wiped out the church. And when he's sitting there at the stoplight, he looks over at this church. The Lord speaks to his heart and tells him, you're going to rebuild that church. Now, he doesn't know the pastor from Adam. I mean, he doesn't know the people, doesn't know anyone who goes to the church. But he gets that in his heart. Well, he dismisses it because he thinks, I work for a church. And there ain't no way my pastor is going to let me go build a church for another pastor. He just thought it just wouldn't work. And how would you even start the conversation? Didn't even know if the pastor wanted to rebuild or rebuild in that location. All he knew was he had that on his heart, but he dismissed it. Well, he took that route to work. I think it was work a good bit. And every time he'd stop at that light, the Lord told him, you're going to rebuild that church. Well, one day he was actually in his boss's house and they were talking about something. And while he's sitting there, his phone rings and he picks it up. And it's the pastor of the church whose church was destroyed by the tornado. And he says, he calls his name. He said, yeah, this is me. He says, who is this? And he tells him about the church, and he just walks in the other room. I mean, he's talking to one guy who may hire him in front of his employer. So with this, he walks in the other room. Would you be interested in this church? He said, rebuilding the church. And of course, he's just shocked because he doesn't know how this pastor found out about him, any of those types of things. And so he tells him, I'm not sure if I can. I'll have to let you know. Well, anyway, he didn't have or couldn't work up the courage to ask his boss if he could this. So he waited a couple of days and came back and went to his boss's office and told him, hey, I've got an opportunity to rebuild this church. It was destroyed by a tornado. I think it'd be a good work and that kind of thing. And he said, I really have it on my heart that I'm supposed to do it. And his boss told him, you know what? I think you're exactly right, but I don't think your time here is up yet. So I'll keep you on payroll here, keep the insurance and all that covered, not going to pay you anything less left. You go rebuild that church. If you can keep some responsibilities here, that'd be great. We won't change your salary. I just don't want to lose you. So you go rebuild that church and then come back to us. And so he went over there and did that, rebuilt that church. And then at the same time as he's rebuilding that church, he's also got a consistent paycheck coming in from the place where he works. So things are looking good. Well, to top it off, he's driving by another facility and he hears that they're wanting to build. And some way or another, that guy gets in contact with him, wants to interview him. Will you build our facility? So he goes into the guy's office and does the interview. And he thought the interview went really well. But a couple of days later, the guy gives him a call and tells him, hey, sorry, we want someone else, no hard feelings, that kind of deal. So I get it 100%. I'm a busy guy anyway. Hope the building comes out right for you. As he's praying a couple of days later, the Lord speaks to his heart and tells him, call that guy back and tell him there's danger in the deal he's about to sign. Well, he's thinking, I'm not going to do that. The only thing that guy's going to be thinking is, I want to sign the contract. And that's, you know, who's going to do that? Who? It doesn't even sound ethical to call and say, hey, the deal you're about to sign with the other guy, you picked over me. There's danger there. You don't need to go through with that. But he gets it in his heart. I know I'm supposed to call him and tell him there's danger there. And so he did probably what I would do. He waited till he knew the guy wasn't in the office, and he called and left a voicemail. And on the voicemail, that's what I did with my wife. With my wife, I was so nervous that she would shoot me down on a date. So I waited till she was in college, and she was in college, but I waited till I knew she was in class, and I knew she wouldn't be able to pick up the phone. So I left a voicemail, just kind of tossed the ball in her court. We'd see if she bounced it back, and she did. We're here now. So anyway, thank God. So anyway, he left the voicemail, and he didn't hear anything back from the guy. And he thought, you know what, man, I knew I missed it. I knew he thought I'm just nuts. And anyway, about a week later, he does hear back from the guy. The guy calls him. He says, I want you to come to my office. He didn't want to talk on the phone. He thought, oh, man. And so he goes to the guy's office, sits down in the chair, and he says, why did you tell me that? Why did you tell me there was danger? That's all he said. There's danger in that deal. I don't know what it is. There's danger there. He said, what did you mean by that? And he said, I was just driving, praying one day. I try to hear from the Lord, and I just sensed in my heart that there was danger in that deal. He said, so funny. He said, you called, I think it was that Friday. On that Monday, I lost $50,000 in that deal. And he told him how that event worked out. And he said, anyway, we're not using that guy anymore. We want to use you. And he handed him a folder, and in the folder, all the work had already been done. All the subs had already been listed. All the plans had already been laid out. All the heavy lifting had already been done by the other contractor. And now he's got this job. Make a long story short, within 18 months, he not only got caught up in his finances, but within 18 months, he was completely debt-free. I mean, completely debt-free. His house was paid for. His cars were paid for. All of his bills were paid for. And so we were just rejoicing over this testimony and talking about how it all came back to this principle. The increase was in the seed. The increase was released when the seed was sown. And then it was harvested when it was claimed by faith. Now I want to come back to some principles here that are critically, critically, critically important. A lot of people think that when you give, it just means that somebody's going to come up and hand money to you. Like happened to him at the first part. A guy comes up to you and gives you a check for $3,500. Gives you a check like that. And a lot of people think this is how it works. When you give, someone else is going to give to you. They're just going to cut you a check, or, you know, a relative's going to leave you a royalty or something like that. But they think that's how it works. And sometimes it does work that way. Sometimes it does. One way it always works is it works through men. It works through men. God doesn't rain money from heaven. It works through men. Luke 6:38 tells us, so shall men give unto your bosom. God works through men, and that's why sometimes it's hard for God to get money to us, because it's not just up to him. He's got to deal with people's hearts one way or the other. And so with that, that's why we always need to be a heart that's open, because God's got some projects he wants us working on, some things he wants us to be a blessing to. So with this, a lot of people think that's how it's going to work. God's going to deal with someone's heart, and then poof, I'm going to wind up with some money. But typically, 9 times out of 10, I'd go as far to say 99 times out of 100, that's not the way God increases people, not the primary way God increases people. It does happen, but it's not the primary way. I was listening to Willie George's sermon that he did, I think it was on Sunday, this past Sunday, Church on the Move. Willie's got a great church. I was listening to his podcast there, and he was talking about this principle, and he said something that stood with me. And I've always believed this, but I've never been able to word it this way. He said, heaven's got a currency. Just, you know, in different parts of the world, there are different nations, and every nation has a different currency. For instance, in America, we have dollars, right? But over in India, you know, they have rupees. And then in some countries, they have pesos, but there's different currency in all these different lands. Heaven's got a currency. Now, the thing is, with all these different currencies, I've got, like I said, Indian money here, 1,000 rupees. That's like 10 bucks over here in American money, something like that. And if I came over, just say, to the Chevron up there, and I went in and wanted a Snickers, or in case my trainer's here, an apple, and I went in there, and I wanted an apple, and I came up to the desk there, and I handed them the apple, and then I handed them the rupees. Now, it's money. It's currency. But if I handed them the rupees, what would they do with it? Nothing. Why? Because they don't what? Accept that what? Currency. They don't accept that currency. What's the currency got to do? It's got to be converted. The currency has to be converted into something they will take. Now, it's money, and it's worth something, but it's worth something over in India. It's not worth anything in America. It's got to be converted before it can be used. Heaven's got a currency. And when God gives us increase, He gives us heaven's currency. I love this. He gives us heaven's currency. Well, what's heaven's currency? Wisdom. Heaven's currency is wisdom. And when wisdom, well, let me back up. Wisdom in and of itself is not worth anything. If you have wisdom, but you never use it, and you never act on it, it's not worth anything. You'll never see any harvest come back to you. You'll never see any return come back. But when you take wisdom and you convert wisdom over into action, that action leads to increase. Heaven's got a currency, but it's not worth anything down here until you convert it. And the problem is the world's been converting wisdom for a long time. In fact, even Jesus said the children of this world are wiser than the children of God. They convert that currency more. And with that, they come up with all these ideas that make them what? Make them money. God gives wisdom. In fact, of all the things He was pleased with Solomon asking for, it was wisdom. In James chapter 1, what did He tell us to ask for? Wisdom. Why? It's heaven's currency. If you get wisdom and you convert that wisdom to action, believe you me, increase will never be a problem. When you tithe and God opens up the windows of heaven, it doesn't mean that instantly everyone's coming to church the next Sunday to give you a bunch of money. It means that, come on, if that's the case, I want to be your best friend. Come sit by me every Sunday. But with this, what it does mean is occasionally that may happen, but more often times than not, He's going to give you something. But what He gives you, if you just don't see it as worth anything and you never take the time to convert it, you'll never walk in the increase God has for you. The increase that God gives us is found when we convert heaven's currency, wisdom, over into action, and then increase is always tied into that. You go back to how Isaac sowed in the land and reaped 1,000-fold. It was because God gave him wisdom on how to do it. When he converted that wisdom over into action, that's when the increase came. It happens this way literally in every great man in the Bible who saw increase like that, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. We could go back through it and see how God blessed them. It wasn't just with a whole bunch of people giving them stuff. He gave them wisdom. When they acted on that wisdom, they walked in increase. So how does it happen? It happens like it happened for him. That God can use some people to give you money, but typically how he provides for us is through the work of your hands. At some point, you get wisdom on how to do something. Sitting at a stoplight, and you get wisdom. I'm supposed to build that church. Driving down the road, call them and tell them there's danger. What is that? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. That's wisdom that comes from God. But it can happen in other forms. Not just like that, but it can happen in other forms. I'll give you in my own life. Years ago, this church gave. We've always been a giving church. But when I took over the church, man, we were struggling, especially financially. We were struggling. We were losing money big time. And so, of course, like I said, when that happens, that takes up your prayer life. You're constantly talking to the Lord about that. Whatever your need is, whether it's a health need or a child need or whatever it is, a financial need, it consumes your prayer life. And so with that, I was praying about that constantly. And something happened. over the process of time, God started speaking to my heart different things. I remember one morning I was shaving and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, you need to remodel your current church. And he uses analogies and things that you understand. I'm a big baseball fan. With that, every good baseball team typically on their pitching rotation has a stopper. They've got a starting pitcher who, if the team is on a losing streak, is so dominant. When it's that guy's turn up in the rotation, it can stop that momentum. It can stop that downward trend. And the Lord said, this is a big thing that'll be a stopper. Remodel your current church. That was back on Highway 18. I thought, Lord, there ain't no way that's going to work. How in the world am I going to remodel a facility? It makes no sense. We're supposed to be building this facility. And I'm going to tell everyone we're remodeling that one. It just made no sense. But I had it on my heart. What is it? It's wisdom. Well, finally, I knew this is God. I can't shake it. This is God. And so I took some money aside that we had in savings and did like an $80,000 remodel somewhere in that neighborhood and came through and just remodeled it, changed out the floors, changed some things in the sanctuary. But friends, make a long story short, at the end of that, we saw immediate increase. It was like from an attendance standpoint, it bounced back. And then, of course, obviously with the church, when attendance increases, tithes and offerings is going to increase too. It was just simple wisdom. And I'd get things like that all the time. The Lord would deal with my heart about how to do something different with the work of my hands. I was always working, but I started working differently. How was I working differently? I was just converting the wisdom that I had in my heart over into action. That was my work. And so with that, Willie was talking about how this, I encourage you, you can get the podcast, Church on the Move podcast. It was this past Sunday, The Blessed Life, Part 3. He was talking about how it worked for him. He was a children's pastor. It'd be like our children's pastor, Tyler. He's a children's pastor working for a smaller church, much smaller than this church. And he was struggling financially. Somewhere or another, the church convinced the pastoral staff to not take salaries, but instead to live by faith. And with that, they would allow the church people to give donations to the associates and to the children's pastor and things like that. So they tell the church, hey, none of these guys are making any money. You're going to have to donate to them. And so he said for the first month, that was great. That was great, you know, because everyone's really sympathetic. Everyone's cutting the checks. But he said finally by the third month where he was making like $1,400 a month, he was making like $450 a month. And so with this, he got really behind on his mortgage, 3 months behind. It's tight financially. And in the middle of all this, the Lord speaks to his heart and tells him that curriculum you've been thinking about printing out, because as a children's pastor, you run off curriculum. And he had written some curriculum that was really good. And he thought, you know, there are a lot of churches that could use good curriculum. We buy curriculum occasionally from Willie and Church on the Move. But with that, we'll buy curriculum occasionally. And so there's a market there. And he told them there's increase there, that you can not only make money off the job you're working now, but there's increase with this curriculum. All this hard work you've poured in, you can sell the curriculum. And so he's thinking about all this. Well, he priced out the curriculum. The curriculum to do it right was about $50,000 to mass produce it, to come up with the book form and the skits and to illustrate it and to take all those little notes and have someone typeset it and all those things. It was just going to be a lot of money. He thought, Lord, I don't have $50,000. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, $50,000 is in your house. That's all they got. $50,000 is in my house. He said, Lord, my house is not worth $50,000. I know my furniture and all that. So then he thought, this was funny to me. He saw a television show where people had bought an old house and went up in the attic and found this painting that the previous owners had forgotten and then took it to like one of those auction shows, and it was worth tons and tons of money, and they sold it. So he thought, that must be what the Lord's talking about. There's $50,000 somewhere in my house. So he went in the attic trying to look for like an old Babe Ruth or, you know, something a previous owner had left behind, or nothing. So what are you talking about, Lord? $50,000 is in my house. And one day when he was praying, the Lord showed him what he meant. Now, when God thinks in terms of money, once again, what does he think in terms of? Wisdom. That's heaven's currency. And so he realized, oh, I know where $50,000 is. How it's in my house, it's in me. And it clicked on him. He got a divine idea that he had been teaching in a Bible school, a 12-week series for 12 weeks in a Bible school about how to teach the kids. He thought, there's so many churches that are impressed by the children's ministry we have at this church. They always call up and ask, how do you teach your kids? How do you teach your kids? How do you teach your kids? He said, I can make a tape series, 6-tape series, sell it for $24. And I've got churches already on file who already know me. And he went through a list of people he had contacted, because in the past he had kept tabs on people who said, hey, when you have products, let us know. He had about 1,500 people on a mailing list. So he mailed a little letter to those people saying, hey, I've got this tape series for sale if you want it. And he had taken the time to kind of package it as best as he could. And at the end of the deal, he had made like several thousands of dollars off the tape series. And it was enough money to do like the first run of the curriculum. And so anyway, you have to listen to podcasts. Fantastic, fantastic story. But he said what bothered him was, is he thought it always come from a rich person. Like he'd tell a rich person, you know, he'd like to go out to eat with rich people or like try to sit by the rich people in church and kind of tell them about the idea for this curriculum and how it can make money. And he just always knew someone was going to cut him a check for it, you know, just kind of cut him a check for it. And he said it never happened that way. But he said, I asked my accountant at the end of the year how much money had come through that little tape series and through that little first batch of curriculum we had put out. And my accountant told me $50,000 on the dime, right on the dime. They took that, made more curriculum, and out of that, Willie George's ministries were born. Now he's got a 10,000-member church, biggest church in Tulsa, new facility, Dry Gulch. But all of that was born out of a guy who had $400 a month coming in, 3 months behind his mortgage, but carried out some wisdom. How does God increase us? The increase is in the seed. When I sow the seed, what happens? The increase is released. It's released. How is it released? It can happen with people giving you money. It can. It can. I've had it happen to me. I got a letter last week. A guy lives in Georgia. Said I went to sleep, had a dream of Jesus, and he told me to send you a check. I said, Lord Jesus, this is amazing. Feel free at any time to appear to anyone in a dream. Lord Jesus, that's wonderful. I never had that happen before. But with that, I mean, I barely know the guy, lives in another state. I thought, Lord, I'll take it. Feel free, Jesus, anytime. But with that, that very rarely happens. Very rarely happens. How it does happen is most of the time the Lord deals with your heart about, hey, do this. And it generally is in regards to the work of your hands or the work your hands should be working on. And he leads you with that wisdom. And when that wisdom is converted, that's when increase comes. Now, my third point to this, and I don't have time to get into it. We'll get into it next week. But the true harvest, it's never really claimed until pressure is put on the harvest or on the seed for it to produce. And this is where a lot of us miss it. And the Lord has been dealing with me about this principle in my life as well. We'll talk about it next week. Let me pray with you. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for all you blessed us with. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that all of us will take the life you've given us and we'll kick it up to another level. We thank you, Lord, the increase is in the seed. We'll be faithful to sow, but Lord, we'll also be faithful to hear, to tap over into heaven's currency, to tap over into wisdom that comes from you. And Father, I thank you that when Solomon got wisdom, he saw increase like he had never seen before. And Father, you see our hearts, judge our hearts, and see that our increase, we see it is not just for us. We want to be a supply. We want to supply the needs of ministries. We want to supply the needs of missionaries. We want to supply the needs of like that couple that the builder helped who need a wedding but don't have the means to pay for it. We want to be supplies like that. We want to buy new bedding for families and new sofas for families. And we want to do that. We want to have our abundance be a supply. So, Lord, you can see our hearts. Our hearts are motivated, not by selfish, greedy ambition. But, Father, our hearts are motivated by love for you and a love for your people. So help us, Lord. Help us understand these things and help us accumulate your wisdom. We love you, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, as always, at the end of service tonight, if you need prayer for anything, come down to the...